Hello and welcome to the Sacred City Life Podcast. This is your host, Pastor Justin Dean. This podcast is all about helping you follow Jesus in the everyday normal rhythms of life. And I got two gentlemen on the podcast with me today. Guys, would you introduce yourselves?
It's Kevin Kenora, biblical counselor.
Alex Tate, Sacred City Youth Director.
Okay, and today we have a listener question that we want to answer. And it's in reference to, it's kind of a follow-up from a podcast we did a few weeks back on the topic of immigration. And Kevin, you want to introduce this question for us?
Yeah. So in that original podcast, we talked about statistics, border crisis, all of these things. And so one listener had asked, hey, you know, that sounds very concerning. As Christians, what can we do about it, right? How can we take action? So they wanted to know, thinking about if we're voting, right? Can we vote? Can we petition? How should we be thinking about the practical?
Yeah. So I am not, I'll just be saying, you know, I'm better with big ideas, and I'm not the greatest when it comes to, I'm not that politically involved myself. I don't, you know, write my congressman and do things like that very often. But the first thing, we just want first to inform our people so they can think theologically about things, because we all love people, and we know we're supposed to love everybody, right? Then some political actors can use that for their own purposes and try to kind of weaponize Christian compassion against us.
Sure.
And I'll just name names here. Like, World Vision is one of the worst at it right now. And World Vision acts like to have borders at all is a sin, and that every Christian should want open borders. Now, why would World Vision do that? Well, they get something like $260 million of the year a year from the government in order to work with refugees. Mm. So they have 260 million reasons why they think that why immigration should, the border should be open, okay? And
follow the money, you can see the vision.
That's it, follow the money. So mainly I want our people to be wise as serpents on this issue, and I want us to be aware that it is a threat and a danger. This past week, or since that podcast aired, we've had multiple news reports of illegal immigrants raping, murdering children. The young woman down at the University of Georgia, he was an illegal from Venezuela who had already been arrested once and let go. And so I want us to see first that the ruling class in our country is failing us. Yeah. Now, you can, whether that is, you know, you just want to label that as the Democratic Party right now, you can, I mean, they're in power, so you can label that. And I think they are definitely on the hook for this. You know, when Biden took office, he rescinded all of Trump's border policies and his executive orders. He stopped the building of the wall. And so he opened this floodgate.
Yeah.
On top of that, there's been reports this week. We didn't even have these numbers the last time we talked about this, but it just came out like yesterday that the Obama administration flew in 320,000 illegal immigrants to keep them from coming in the southern border. So because of the southern border, those numbers were so astronomical, we were like blown away by how many millions had came in. Mm-hmm. In order to like keep those numbers from looking worse, he actually flew in 320,000 illegal immigrants to go to different cities in the United States. Wow. So the fact that we have an open border, I mean, it's without question now. And the Mayorkas, who this is his job, when questioned on this a year ago, he said, no, we have no border crisis. The border's completely in control. Everything's good. And so he was a bald-faced liar. He was a bald-faced liar. And our president continues to tweet things like, if the Republicans would sign this, and the reality is he has all the tools necessary to close the border. He's refusing to do so for obvious political reasons. So what can we do about it? Well, yes, you can definitely vote the current regime out of power if we have that ability, right? You can definitely do that. But also, we need, it's not just at the, you know, immigration specifically is a federal issue. The federal government is the one that's supposed to protect our borders. And so that's, you know, coming up in November, right? We have that. But we can also write our congressmen. We could also, you know, educate ourselves on the growing threat and, you know, why this is actually happening and what we can do about it. And then there's going to be the everyday, well, what if my neighbor is that? What if my neighbor is an illegal alien? What if the guy that comes to roof my house is an illegal alien, right? And this is here's one of the reasons why the elites in society don't care about immigration, okay? Because the elites run large corporations. Yep. And when illegals come over the border by the millions, they are predominantly low income, low wage earners, right? They are laborers, typically. They're the people the elites hire to work in their, you know, fields or factories.
For cheaper. Yeah. Yeah, they like it.
Yeah, they like it. But then what does it do to the low-wage Americans?
Yeah.
Now, they have higher competition with illegal immigrants, right? Because I'll do it for $15 an hour. Illegal immigrant, I'll do it for 12. Oh, man. So it creates competition in the lower socioeconomic brackets in America, in the low-wage earners, right? And it makes it harder for people that are already feeling the squeeze of inflation and already having a difficult time feeding their families in America. It makes it more difficult for them because they're now in higher competition with people who are over here literally illegally. Mm-hmm. Right? Another crazy statistic we just learned, I don't know if you know about this, but Venezuela was like the murder capital of the world, tons of gangs, and this new guy takes over and he just says, I'm taking out the gangs. And he starts locking them up left and right, building world's biggest prison in order to house them because they can't house them all. And the people love him because he's cleaning up the streets and they can raise their kids. But one of the things he's been doing is once the prisons get full, he's been sending the gangbangers and stuff that he's got over there, he's been sending them to America.
Yeah.
Well, he sends them to Mexico, and then they cross over the border into America.
Yeah.
And two of the violent criminals that were caught in the past week have been Venezuelans.
Wow.
So it's like our open border policies, like other countries, are kind of like laughing at. They're like, this guy's like, hey, listen, I got too many criminals. I'll send him to Mexico, and then we'll just cross over in the border into America. Mm. Right. So
is that the only place that there's open borders? Is what you're saying?
I'm not saying that's the only place, because even our northern border with Canada, there's ways to get. I mean, it's a vast, expansive border, right? So you can't guard every inch of it. Mm. But it's been more difficult to get into the country from our northern border. Though their smugglers and stuff are trying to, because now there's so much, you know. Spotlights on the southern border, they're trying to go to the northern border. So no, it's not the only place, but it's a threat. Now, it's also a threat to our safety. You know, this girl that was just out jogging on the campus of the University of Georgia, she was, you know, brutally murdered by this Venezuelan illegal immigrant who had already been arrested once. Yep. And so what you want to have a border policy that allows people that want to adopt our culture and want to better themselves. You want to let, in one sense, you want to let the best in, right? Because you want people that will lift up your economy, lift up your culture, lift up your country, make us better, right? That's who you want to let in. Now, we also want to let in those that are fleeing persecution, religious persecution, whatever. We want to let those people in. But you don't want to let in murderers, rapists, violent criminals, people that are going to make your country. Why would you let somebody who wants to make your country worse, who wants to add violence, add criminal activity, why would you let that person in? But here's just a story. My brother-in-law is a good dude, but he got a DUI or DWI or something like that when he was like 18. And cleaned up his life, gave his life to Christ, business owner, great young man. Met a girl, he met a girl in Hawaii. They eventually get married. She's a French-Canadian, Canadian citizen. He couldn't even get into Canada to visit her because he had a DUI on his record. They don't allow it. He couldn't become a Canadian citizen because he had a DUI on his record. Mm-hmm. Right?
So they got standards, is what you're saying.
They got standards. They're like, we don't want drunks over here. We don't need more drunks. Like, we want good people over here.
Yeah.
Even though Canada's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Canada in a lot of places way more liberal than the United States of America is right now. But that's the kind of, so one, yeah, we want Christian principles and wise principles to be governing our land. We don't want this untethered empathy that just says, send us anybody who wants to come, right? Because the people that want to come sometimes are Islamic extremists who want to come here and terrorize us, right? And they're criminals that want to, human trafficking and the drug trade and fentanyl and all the stuff that's going on in our country right now that's coming over the western border. So big picture, we want, if you're into this stuff, I want you to be informed. We should be writing our governor, writing our senators, letting our people know that it's not okay. And we expect good border policy and strong border control. Yeah. And anyone who, and this, what's insane is like Republicans, Democrats used to agree on this issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now Democrats have just went off the deep end here and they've just opened borders. So yeah, we should be voting. That's all the stuff we can do. And we should be aware of it. And then if it comes to personal interactions, of course, we're to love that person. We're to lead that person to Christ. We want to see all that stuff happen. But if that were to happen, then we would say, okay, you need to go to your court date. You need to go, you know, become a legal citizen or get deported if that's what were to happen. Because I know Trump is saying, like, if he gets elected president, it's going to be the biggest deportation in history. Mm. And we should be behind that. We should be behind that. If they entered our country illegally, they are subject to the laws of our land. Mm. And we should not want, you know, people who are breaking the law. I mean, then by definition, they're outside the law. Like, they should be treated. Now, if we need better policy, let's create the policy, make the legislator legislate that. But there's a lot of nefarious actors that have snuck over, and they need to be deported, mm-hmm. right? And seek legal means of entering the country. So right now it's pretty clear, man. The majority of Democrats, they want open borders, and they might not say it with their words, but all of their actions, you know, depict that they want open borders. It affects our cities. Jav and I just went up to Chicago to see a concert, and the cities are overrun right now, and it's bad news. So.
Do you know what that does to, so you mentioned jobs, right? You can get illegal immigrants to work for cheaper. Do you know what that does to, say, welfare benefits, the welfare system, how that feeds that?
Well, it's insane. So imagine just the cost of flying 320,000 people on airfare into our country. That's crazy.
Taxpayers' money, right?
Yeah, that's our money.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're paying to house them. Yep. Taxpayers are paying to house them, feed them, Medicare, all of these things.
Yeah.
Illegal people that are not citizens, that have no right to be here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all for people, you know, fleeing persecution and allowing that. Like, that's okay. I get that. We should want those people. Christians that are being persecuted in other countries fleeing here to have religious freedom. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But we're talking about violent, many of them, violent criminals that they come here because, you know, they're going to have free reign for a while, and they're going to get free money, and they're going to have free stuff. So it's insane policy, right? So it taxes all of our infrastructure, whether it comes to hospitals, fire departments, police department. You know, we only have a limited number of these professionals that can serve the people, and it puts undue weight on all of them.
Yeah.
Right.
So what do you say to the, I mean, we've all like talked about this and seen this, like the spoiledness of Americans in a sense of like not wanting to do certain jobs, right? Not wanting to work. So who would replace that work if no one's doing it?
Well, I think that's the wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there is a need, there's going to be a supply for that need, right? But it works the exact opposite. So the way you just kind of described it. So if we need people to roof our house, right? We call a roofing company,
mm-hmm.
right? And as roofers in the Quad Cities realize, man, there's more roofs than I can handle, usually that demand increases the supply. And mm-hmm. so what happens is you have more guys say, oh man, there's an opportunity in roofing. I'm going to launch a roofing company, right? Or whatever it is. I'm going to launch that kind of company because there's money to be made there,
mm-hmm.
right? There's money. There's a demand for this service. There's money to be made. I'm going to get in this business and I'm going to make some good money. Well, what happens in those types of labor intensive, careers is that's, you know, the illegal aliens, you know, fill those spots, and that drives, you know, so the demand is there, and then now the supply rises to meet that demand, and then that kind of lowers prices.
Mm.
So in one sense, if we're getting our roof done, we're going to be happy about that.
Yeah.
Because we get a lower price.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We get this guy to do a lower price, right?
Yeah.
Now, we don't know if he's, I mean, again, if he's illegal, we don't know if he's licensed, if he's bonded, if he's insured. We don't know how long he's going to be here. We don't know what kind of warranty is going to come with that. We don't know what kind of work he does. Now, many of them can do comparable work, maybe, you know, just as good or even better. We don't know. But what it does is it limits, I'll just say, like, let me put it, make it more practical. Like, it limits the opportunity for our children.
Mm-hmm.
It limits the opportunity of the people in our city to create business and provide services for people,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm okay with that in a legal sense. It's a legal sense that it's, you know, it should be illegal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it should be illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so here's kind of when I asked you about what impact that has on, let's say, welfare systems. I think in our kind of political climate, we look at things like immigration, like abortion, right? All of these big issues. People say, well, you shouldn't be a single issue voter, right? But it's only a single issue at the surface level, right? It only looks like a single issue because when you get into, okay, how is this, who's paying for it? Well, why are they paying for it? How are they paying for it, right? It becomes a more complex kind of, it becomes a matrix that you look at. And I think, man, we've talked about this on other podcasts, but I just don't think people are curious enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, even some of the stuff we just said probably brought some confusion. Honestly, it's not just our tax dollars that are paying for it. The government's just printing money. The government's just printing money to pay for it.
Yeah.
And if you print money, inflation rises. That's what inflation is. Inflation is not the rise of goods and services, the rise of cost of goods and services, that's a result of inflation.
Yep.
Inflation is the rise in money supply. So the government prints more money and that money becomes worth less.
Yeah.
So when people get their house, you know, they, oh, my house went up $60,000 this year. No, it did not. The dollar became worth less.
Yep.
Your dollar became worth less. Yeah. You know, that's what's happening.
So with that, like, should people be purchasing like gold?
Oh gosh.
Maybe that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I am not an expert, and I would refer you to our
Deacon of Finance.
Deacon of Finance on that, or some of our guys that are in finance. And there are many people that say yes. There are many people that say yes over the long term that gold, well, we all would believe that gold is the safer bet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your potential of making money on gold long term is probably less than in the stock market,
yeah,
barring a crash, right? But it is definitely a safer bet. And my grandpa, boy, he sure believes so. So I'll tell you that. But, yeah, so now, related to this question is a question about culture itself. You know, should we be concerned about the cultural implications of immigration? And there are many Christians that don't, they just don't understand culture. And they would say no. Right. Like, I've been to Mexico, I've been to this place, I've been to Europe, I've been all over the place, and culture's different, and culture's just, you know, differences in culture is just cool, man. And to an extent, I understand what they're saying. I mean, most of them haven't traveled to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not cool, I guess.
Or Gaza, right? Mm-hmm. Or Iran.
Yeah.
Or China.
Yeah.
And what they're getting at is they've traveled to some formerly Christian cultures, and there's differences that are really cool. And I would agree, right? But we have to remember what a culture is.
Yeah.
And culture, we get it. I mean, the root of the word culture, we've said this before, is cult.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Which means, you know, worship.
Yep.
A cult is at the center of every culture. A worshiping center, a god. There is a god of the system somewhere, right? And when you think of it that way, you know a nation's worship is primary, and its culture and politics and government and everything else flows out of its worshiping center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So immigration has the potential to erase, to transplant a nation's culture.
Yeah.
This is the most obvious one. But if we opened our borders completely and we started offering flights from Iran and Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia and all these Muslim and Northern Africa and all these Muslim countries, and we allowed them to flow into our country unabated, they have more children than we do. They, you know, that's just like Americans right now are not even at replacement rate. Like, I think it's 1.9% or something like that. We have to be at least 2.1 to be at replacement rate. Then they would outgrow us, right? And what would that do? Think about it. What would that do to our nation's culture?
Erase it.
It would erase it with Sharia law. That's their goal. I mean, that's what Mohammedans want to do. They want another caliphate in the United States. Yep. They want...
Another what? What'd you say?
Caliphate. So you want to Google that term for them real quick? They want another regime. They want another Muslim nation, Muslim empire, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, it is the rule or reign of a chief Muslim ruler.
There you go. So they would love to have one in the United States or the entire United States. Now, that is an extreme example, but it's a real example. Yeah. This is what's happening in Europe right now, in Britain and different parts of Europe, that they have allowed, in France, they have allowed Muslims to come into their country unabated without any. So there, it's one thing to allow people to come in if they want to assimilate to your culture, right? But if you allow people to come in who don't want to assimilate, they're just here to make money here, live in these lands, and then create their own culture. That's a threat. That's a threat to your civilization. That's a threat to your country, right? And so we should at least think about it clearly. You know, when people want to come to our country, are they wanting to assimilate? Are they wanting to, you know, and it's hard for us to even define that now because we've moved away from our Protestant Christian heritage, yeah, where, you know, it was very clear in the early days of our country. Mm. But the reality is at the center of every culture is a God.
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons I think our current regime is so, you know, excited about Ukraine, because Ukraine basically serves the same God as our current bureaucrats in Washington, which is the LGBTQ plus religion. We could call it that. It's, you know, the global American empire, the GAE, you could call it that, the global American empire. And that's why we like them, you know? It's not because they're democratic. They're barely democratic. They're so stinking corrupt over there. It's ridiculous, you know? And we're sending billions upon billions upon billions of dollars over there to help them fight this war. Now, I know some of us would think, well, Russia's terrible. Russia is terrible, right? But they're both godless regimes in one sense, you know? That neither one of them are a Christian nation. Neither one of them... you know, we should be in quote unquote support of, right? But this is just to make the point that culture at its heart has a religion, has the worship of something. If it's the worship of self, if it's the worship of the individual, if it's the worship of our sexual identities and all the crazy stuff, then it's going to corrupt Christian culture.
How would you define our culture now, here in America? Because it seems like I
apostate.
Mean, mm.
I would call our culture is apostate. We were a Christian country. We have some semblances and some like memory trails of Christianity. You know, we believe. I think most people. I don't even know. You know, we used to know that rights come from God, right? Not from the government, not from the state. Rights come from God. We used to believe the Ten Commandments, right? We used to believe marriage between one man and one woman. We used to believe that Christianity was good for society. It was actually the best thing for society. That Christianity was meant to orient the state towards its heavenly good. So the state was to organize itself to promote religion, the Christian religion, because that was what's good for the human person. We want to create a state, a government, a society that makes it easier for people, that promotes people being Christians, right? Because we're ordering them towards their natural good and their heavenly good. And those two things are in line with one another. And so now we're not that. We're apostate. We're not a Christian nation. We are a multicultural, pluralistic pantheon of gods. Everybody is their own god, their own maker, and you could do whatever makes you happy.
It's judges.
Yeah, everybody does what's right in his own eyes. Mm. That's what we are now. So that's why I say, you know, but the reality is the reality. There is worship at the center. Even if it's false religion,
yeah.
It's worship at the center. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, can't we name this? Can't we, does anybody want to stand up and say, enough is enough? Like, what is going to be at our center? Because right now, if we can't point to anything at our center, then yeah, why stop people from coming in?
Yeah.
Mm. Right? They're just trying to seek their best life. They're just trying to do their thing. Just let them do their thing.
Yeah.
If America is built, if the core idea of America is everybody gets to do their own thing, well, that's the end result of that is chaos.
Yeah,
and it's getting close,
right? Because
because whoever gets in, you know, office, it seems like whatever that person's agenda is that's where we're moving.
Yeah, the gang leaders want to come in and do their own thing. The drug leaders want to come in and do their own thing. The rapists want to come in and do their own thing. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody just wants to come and do their own thing.
Yeah.
You know? And this is why we believe that we need to be a distinctly Christian nation.
Yeah.
Again, we need to have people in office that are, quote-unquote, Christian princes. That's what the book Case for Christian Nationalism makes for them. And they're trying to legislate from a distinctly Christian view because that's what's good for society as a whole. Right? Even though it would limit some people's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Their personal freedom. Okay. I'm for like Sabbath laws and like, let's shut down businesses on Sunday. Like that promotes people going to church. Close the golf course. Sorry. Sunday mornings, golf course is closed. Whatever. You know, like I'm for that.
Chick-fil-A fell in line.
Yeah, the Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
That's Jesus chicken.
But, but anyway, so this is, we have to think, what is a culture?
Yeah.
What is a people? Like, what holds us together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, I had to put my hand on my heart and I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Yeah.
And we said, one nation under God,
yeah,
indivisible, right? Liberty and justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
We took that out of the, so like, what is holding us together?
And the scary thing is when you look out in our culture, the thing that's holding people together are, what sport team are you on? What club are you a part of? And that's what's holding a lot of people that, of course, are not Christians. But a lot of us that are Christians, we come together. And the only thing some of us do have in common is that Christ is Lord over our lives. And we're going to submit to live our life for him.
Yeah. So it's hard for us to wrap our head around that we are an apostate nation.
Yeah.
But we are.
Yeah.
We've turned away from Christ, and we're reaping the whirlwind here. We're reaping the chaos. And so Christians should at least be able to point at it and say, that's a result of us leaving our Christian heritage behind.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what we're for. We don't know what our worship is. We don't know what the center of our society is.
Yeah.
And so we're just allowing anybody to come in and wreck shop if they want to wreck shop.
Yeah.
Right? So... How long we be going, Kurt? Okay. You guys got anything else on that?
No, that's good.
Okay, so hopefully we answered your question, listener. We're in Iowa, obviously, and so it's not going to be our most pertinent issue. We're in the center of the country. It takes a while to get here. But you never know, because if the things remain unchecked, then they could start shipping them our way, right? And then that will create a more pertinent issue for us. And dealing with it in the city, you know, and how we live our lives. So if you got any more questions, just email me at justindean@sacredcitychurch.com. Thank you for the questions. We love you guys. We're praying for you. God bless.